Good morning, and welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have gathered here today to hear your word and to worship and praise your holy name. We ask you to strengthen our faith in you and our love for you by your holy word. Give us the comfort of knowing that with Jesus as our good shepherd, we truly have nothing to fear, but know that he works everything in our lives according to your plan and for our good. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is The Gifts Christ Freely Gives.
Christ freely gives, he gives to you and me.
Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him, and we have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, souls may be saved, faith may be strengthened, and your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today is from the Old Testament book of Amos. We read from chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. In this reading, we see that Amos had a very unpopular message to bring to the people. God had brought a message of judgment through Amos, and the people did not want to hear it. Actually, they were very opposed to what he said. This is a reminder that even when the message that God tells us to bring to the world is unpopular or brings opposition, we should still speak God's word faithfully, as Amos did. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, "Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Our gospel reading for today is from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. In these verses, we see Jesus sending out his apostles two by two to preach the word of God and even to do some miraculous things. Above all, though, they were sent to preach a message that we still preach today, repentance, turning away from sin and turning to faith in Jesus. From Mark chapter 6, And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. And he said to them, Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, and anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, O Christ Who Called the 12.
Christ who called the 12 to rise and follow. Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we are chosen by God to be his children, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We read from chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it, to the praise of his glory. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Over the past couple of months, I've been having pre-marriage classes with a young couple who are going to be married in Southern California at the end of August. And as a homework assignment for their next session, I asked them both to write down five things that they love about their future spouse. Or to put it a different way, five reasons they are marrying their future spouse. Those, of course, are important things to think about because, as you probably know, getting married is a very important decision. One of the most important choices a human being can make in their life. It's also a very blessed one. Not just because you are making the choice to be with someone for the rest of your life, but also that that person has chosen you, and only you, for the rest of their life. What an amazing thought. An amazing blessing that is. What a blessed comfort and feeling it is to be chosen in that way, to have the secure sense of belonging, a sense of being wanted, a sense that someone cares about you deeply enough to commit themselves to you for as long as they live. In our text for today, the Apostle Paul speaks about being chosen. However, he talks about a choice that is even more important, even more long-lasting than even being chosen for a lifetime of marriage. He's talking about an eternal choice that actually wasn't made by anyone, at least not by any human being anyway. What Paul writes about in our text is being chosen by God. That choice has all the spiritual blessings will ever need. It has all the comfort that we could ever ask or hope for. Now, maybe it's something we're used to hearing, so maybe it doesn't seem all that amazing or all that comforting at first. But when we take a look at our situation when we came into this world and compare it with what the Bible says we were like by nature, we realize pretty quickly just how incredible it is that God has chosen us. It helps us to realize then just how amazing God's grace is. And by grace, we mean his undeserved love. Think again of that young couple and think of the lists that they may come up with as to why they have chosen the other as their future spouse. Those of you who are married probably could come up with at least five, I would hope. I hope they're able to come up with at least five when I meet with them in a couple of weeks. Five reasons why you married the spouse that you chose. You could come up with a pretty good list, I would imagine. Your spouse is caring and compassionate. Maybe you chose them because they are trustworthy and faithful. Maybe you find them to be attractive. You like their personality. You like their sense of humor. You like many other good qualities about them that led you to make that choice of them as your spouse for life. But if we were to ask ourselves the question, why did God choose us to be with Him for eternity in heaven? What kind of list could God come up with? What list could He compile that would make Him or move Him to say, I'm going to choose them because of how great they are? What in us would have led God, the holy, almighty creator of the universe, who is everything and not has no absence in and of Himself, what could move Him to choose us? What could He find in us that would be to Him attractive? Well, nothing, if you believe what the Bible says about us in our natural state. The Bible tells us the truth. The state that we're born in this life, is death. In the next chapter of Ephesians, Paul reminds us that we were dead in sins. So would you go looking for someone to choose as your own from among dead people? I don't think so. I didn't go looking for my spouse in a graveyard. The Bible also says that by nature we are enemies of God. We are hostile toward Him. Would you even dream of choosing as your lifelong companion someone who is by nature your enemy? No. At least you wouldn't do that on purpose. So why in the world then would God have chosen us? If there's nothing desirable or attractive in us spiritually by nature, we don't measure up to the standard of holiness that He's set for us, that He demands for us in His law. What could have possibly moved Him to choose you and me to be His very own forever? We can answer that question with two words: because of His love and because of Christ. That answer is put clearly for us in verses 4 and 5 of our text. It says, He, that is God the Father, chose us in Him, that is, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. Did you catch all that? Did you notice that phrase, before the foundation of the world? That means before time began. God chose us in Christ. That means before He ever said, let there be, He chose you and me. If that is true, then let me ask you this. How much did you have to do with that choice that God made? How much choosing did you do in this situation? The answer is none. You didn't even exist yet. Nothing existed yet. That may not seem like that profound of a fact, but do you realize the comfort that gives us? It means that our salvation is absolutely not dependent on us. It's not dependent on our choosing, but rather it's dependent on God's choosing of us, which Paul clearly says in this text was before the foundation of the world. He's simply that good, that gracious, and that loving. And Paul says at the end of verse 5 of our text that He chose us to be His own essentially because He wanted to. According to the purpose of His will, is how Paul puts it. And Paul goes on to say that He gives us His grace so that we would then be led to thank and praise Him. Verse 6 says, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Notice Paul used a big word there that often confounds us or maybe confuses us. It's the word predestination. And that teaching in the Bible of God's election or predestination can sometimes bring up some very difficult questions in our minds and hearts. But one of them usually is this: how do I know for sure then that I am one of the chosen? How do I know for sure that God has predestined and chosen me? Have I been adopted into God's family? How can I know for sure? Well, the Bible tells us that God sent His one and only Son in the world to die to forgive our sins. And it says very clearly that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? It's one of the most clear and simple gospel passages, one you've probably known from the time you were very little. If you do believe that, then yes, you are one of the elect. You are an adopted child of God. It really is as simple as that, because if we can say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that means the Holy Spirit is there in your heart. Because the Bible also tells us no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That's important because Paul tells us in the last verses of our text that the Holy Spirit who's been given to us by Christ is our guarantee that we've been adopted, that we have in fact been chosen as God's children. Listen again to verses 13 and 14. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, and that's referring to Jesus, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee of the inheritance that will be ours forever in heaven. Now, I understand what you're saying here, Pastor, but that seems too simple. After all, sometimes I'm not so sure that I actually do believe. I look at my life, I look at my words, my actions, and my thoughts, and I wonder, how can a true Christian do or say or think the things that I do? Sometimes I think my faith might not be genuine at all. Maybe it's just a charade. Maybe it's just a mask that I put on. Maybe my faith is, in the end, just a sham altogether. How do I know for sure that I am one of the chosen? Ever had thoughts like that before? If you're a living, breathing human being with a pulse, then you probably have. Well, let me remind you that our assurance of our salvation does not come from inside of us. And that's often where we turn when we have doubts about our faith, isn't it? What can I see in myself that's proof that I am a believer or that I am one of the chosen? That's not where we should look. Don't turn inward when we have fears or doubts or when our faith is shaken. We're not going to find the answers there. Turn outward. Turn to the eternal truth of the gospel of Christ. Turn and look to that cross of Calvary, that cross that I point to nearly every Sunday to remind us that is where our assurance lies. That is how we know we are chosen. That's how we know God loves us. The cross of Calvary, which is far above all of our thoughts, our feelings, our moods, our heart, and our mind. That is where our assurance of salvation lies. Paul began this sermon text by praising the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing He's given us in Christ. And one of those spiritual blessings is one that we already mentioned, our adoption as the children of God. Another of those blessings is the assurance that we are adopted by God in Christ. Listen to the verse 7 of our text again. It says, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of His grace. There's that important word again. When our faith is shaky, when doubts arise in our hearts about our standing before God, we rest on His unchanging grace. In the riches of God's grace, we have been given those that are among the greatest spiritual gifts we can be given. Christ's blood was the ransom price that paid for all of our sins and redeemed us back to God. Forgiveness, therefore, is what we received by that blood of Jesus. And the Greek word for forgiveness that's used here literally means to let go, to send away. It's one of my favorite words in the Greek language. It's a great picture. To let go and to send away. That's where all of our sins went. They were let go, sent away, and nailed to Christ's cross, never to come back to haunt us. Every sin we've committed, every sin we will ever commit, has been let go and nailed to that cross of Christ. You and I have been chosen by God in Christ. We are His sons and daughters, and we will inherit the kingdom of heaven, not just for a lifetime, but for all eternity. What a blessing, what a comfort. Now let's live lives to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by putting it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn. That can be found in your TAN worship supplements in your pew. Hymn 776, Lord, 'Tis Not That I Did Choose You. 776 in the TAN worship supplement. Please rise. Prayers have been requested today for our country and also for former President Trump, who there was an assassination attempt on him yesterday. You may have seen that in the news. We thank the Lord for his protection and ask him to bring peace to our country during this very turbulent time. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, you are our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. We are certainly troubled and disturbed by the assassination attempt on former President Trump yesterday. At the same time, we recognize and are grateful for your grace and your protection in sparing his life and not allowing his injuries to be severe. We thank you for the brave actions of our Secret Service and law enforcement personnel who escorted him to safety. We also praise you for protecting so many of the people who were gathered yesterday at the rally. Give comfort and healing to those who are injured, and bring your comfort and peace to the family of the bystander who lost their life. We pray, Lord, that even in the face of this evil act, you would work all things for your good as you've promised. Give protection to our leaders, to our political candidates, and to all those who are in authority over us. If it is your will, prevent violent attacks like this from happening again, and give peace and civility to the political climate in our country and to all of our citizens, that we may be united as a nation and that we may carry out our democratic processes peacefully, fairly, and without fear. Restrain and defeat the plans and works of those who would bring destruction and chaos to our country, for you are the God of order and peace. Bless our country in every way, and move all of our citizens to trust in you for salvation and to walk in your ways. Dear Heavenly Father, God of all grace, what we could not do, you have done for us. Even before you created the world, you knew us, and you chose us to be your own through faith in Christ. And in due time, you sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts to convert us, to bring us to faith in you. We confess that there is no good or pleasing thing in us to make us worthy of your choice, worthy of being brought to faith, or worthy of eternal life. From first to last, you deserve all the credit for our conversion and our salvation. We confess that we daily sin and fall short of your glory. Nevertheless, we are comforted knowing that no one can bring any charge against us, nor can anyone condemn us, for it is Jesus Christ who died and was raised to life, who now intercedes for us, your chosen people, at your right hand. Forgive us for Jesus' sake. From our hearts, we thank you that we have been chosen and converted, justified and saved. And now we ask you to sanctify us continually through the Holy Spirit, so that we may put away sin and abound in good works. Help us demonstrate our election and calling by living a holy life from day to day, nourished in our faith and love by a vigorous study of your saving word. Use us to gather others of your chosen people into the kingdom of heaven by making us able witnesses of Christ. Move hearts of people everywhere to call on his name for salvation. We are confident, O Lord, that you will take care of us, your chosen people, providing for us in body and spirit with everything necessary for our physical and spiritual well-being. Take full charge of our lives. Guide us, protect us, defend us. Help us to prosper in our individual callings. We belong to you, for we have been bought at a price. Take full possession of our hearts and wills. Let them always delight in serving you for Jesus' sake. In his name we pray all these things as we pray together now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is Lord of All Hopefulness. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message that you've heard again today. A few announcements from the bulletin. Following our service today, the Women's Auxiliary will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall for a meeting. It starts around 11:15. Any special announcements for the meeting? Meet in the Fellowship Hall. This afternoon I'll be in Hayward for the service there at 1 p.m. and Bible study at 2. A reminder, this Tuesday our elders and church council will be meeting via Zoom. It says 6 p.m., that should say 7 p.m. I'm sorry for the misprint. Probably a cut and paste error from a Board of Education meeting. 7 p.m. for the elders and church council on Tuesday. Next Sunday, Bible study will be at the usual time, 9 a.m. Worship at usual time, 10 a.m. We will be having a VBS volunteer meeting at 11, so if you're volunteering to help with VBS next Sunday, please meet in the fellowship hall with us after church. We'll go through some of the things we're doing for Vacation Bible School and be meeting in here with Jules to run through some of the music. So volunteers, please meet after church next Sunday. Then our teachers will be meeting for their setup and getting ready for the week. Next Sunday at 6 p.m. One of our teachers isn't getting in until 5:15 next Sunday, so we'll have a meeting together at 6 p.m. For the teachers. Speaking of Vacation Bible School, that's coming up soon, July 22nd through 26th. We currently have 19 students registered. The one family that thought they weren't going to be there contacted me yesterday and said, we are going to be there, so we gained three, and looking forward to having a good week with our students and our staff. There is a sign-up sheet for snacks for the students and lunch for the teachers during that week. Any donations for the volunteers for their sightseeing, please do mark your envelopes between now and next Sunday if possible. At the end of the month, July 28th, Sunday, is our joint worship service and church picnic. This year we'll be having it at Cuesta Park in Mountain View. That will be held after the service. And again, it'll be a joint service, so 10 a.m. here for worship on the 28th, and then we'll head to the park in Mountain View at approximately 11:30. The address and some short directions are in the bulletin. There is a map printed for you on the entryway table if you'd like to look at that as well. There is an announcement about filling a church council position after Scott and Diane are moving to Hawaii. We will have a voters meeting on Sunday, August 18th. Eligible voters who are interested in filling one of the church council positions are encouraged to speak with either myself or with our chairman, Michael Slattengren, and indicate which positions you'd be willing to serve if possible. Any questions, please speak with me or Michael. We can help you out there. Any other announcements today? As many of you know, I've been dealing with a call for the last month from the congregation in the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin. I want to share with you my response to that call this morning. Dear members and friends of St. Stephen, after much prayer and thoughtful consideration, along with much deliberation, counsel, and advice from many others, I've become convinced that the Lord has led me to accept the call to serve as pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church of Hales Corners, Wisconsin. Please know that this was not an easy decision, and it's a very emotional one. It's heartbreaking to think of leaving you all and not serving as your pastor. At the same time, I am convinced that this is what the Lord would have me do, and that the congregation and school in the Milwaukee area is where the Lord would have me serve at this time. That gives me peace, and I'm grateful for the clarity the Lord has given me in coming to this decision, even though it is very difficult. Please know that I love and care for all of you, and I thank the Lord for the 7.5 years that He's given me with you all. I've enjoyed serving with you and serving you. I'm thankful that He's blessed our work together in so many ways, both in this congregation, at our congregations, and in our school. Jules and I have both loved living here, serving with you, and we've always been blessed by your support, your love, your care, and your Christian friendship. And for that, we thank you deeply. This is truly a special and blessed group of believers that we serve here in California, and it's our prayer that the Lord will bring you a new pastor very soon. I'm confident that God will answer those prayers according to His good and gracious will and timing. I do plan on remaining here to serve as your pastor until most likely mid-October, when we will be moving to Wisconsin. An exact moving date will be set in the near future as I meet with our church council and elders and discuss it with the elders of the congregation in Milwaukee. I look forward to the time that we have remaining to share and serve with you some more. I cannot thank you enough for your prayers, your encouragement, especially during this call consideration. May the Lord's blessings be with you all and on your service in His kingdom. Blessings and love in Christ. Amen. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our good shepherd and our Savior, we come before you, first of all, praising you for the many blessings you've given us over the past 7.5 years. We thank you for the time we've had together, serving each other and serving with each other in your kingdom. You have been with us, growing us closer to each other and closer to you, in both good times and bad, through the joys and the sorrows during the years of ministry here at St. Stephen. We cannot thank you enough for your grace and your blessings on the years you've given us. We also ask, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen all of our hearts during this time of transition and great change. Remove our doubts and fears, and help us to trust in you and to focus on your sure promises to be with us and to work all things out for our spiritual and eternal good. Also, Lord, help us to look back on our own lives and the history of this congregation and remember your astounding faithfulness to us each time challenges, distressing events, uncertainties, and changes in pastors took place. You have always provided, always guided, and always sustained the people of this congregation, and we ask that you would do the same for all of us at this time as well. Give us hope amidst the heartache that the accepting of a call to serve elsewhere inevitably brings. Dry our tears with the wonderful memories and joys you have given us, and with the certainty that in you, through faith and fellowship with each other, we are never truly apart, and that we will in the end be together forever where there are no goodbyes in heaven. Bless us and be with us over the coming months to appreciate and cherish the time that we have together. And please, Lord, be merciful and gracious to this congregation and bless them quickly with a pastor to serve and shepherd them. In your guiding and saving name we pray. Amen. If there are no other announcements, I'll leave you with a blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.